What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 56 of the MMArcade podcast. And Rob, we are very close to the first big fight card of the year, UFC 311. I'm excited, bro. I've been itching for this for so long.
Yeah, it's funny how that like little break over Christmas with no fights, how just kind of quiet things are.
It's I guess weird, like, isn't it?
Yeah, well, especially for me, because it's such a, like, I don't realize how much of an impact the fight game and the fights and just fights happening have in my life.
Yeah.
But when they weren't around, it was just kind of like a quiet hole.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do with myself. On Sundays, you know, we usually watch the fights and everything.
Yeah. And just like the news feeds, you're kind of always looking up like what happened on the fight. Even if I don't watch a lot of the fights, like I just always want to look at the feeds, like see what's up, what's going on. But yeah, it was quiet. Before we get into it, though, I do want to address something. So,
do it.
Over the last couple of weeks, I've been noticing the comments from the viewers and new viewers as well about the cast and the direction we're heading. This is just kind of like a back and forth, chill talk, you know, shooting the shit, if you would, sort of cast. Like me and Johnny, we're just fans of the game. He likes some fights. I like other fights. And we just talk about them. Like, we just discuss them. If you want, there's so many other podcasts out there. If you wanted like a in-depth diagnostic on
skill,
techniques. Yeah. And just like all that sort of stuff. There's so many guys that do it so well. We just comment on things that we see at the time. Like, and you'll notice that in some of the previous episodes, I forget some of the fights. I forget how the fight went down. I watch it once. I'm not going to go over it four times to try and bring like a diagnostic. Maybe we head in that direction one day.
Yeah.
But right now I'm enjoying the cast. It's a good way to connect with the viewers and the listeners. And just like I said, shoot the shit. We sit here, we talk, we chat, we have a lot of fun with it. I get to talk about MMA, which is one of our passions, but then we also get to talk about games, which is like the other side of the coin for us. So that's just how I feel, and I'm sure Johnny feels much the same. Mm-hmm. If you are new, hopefully that clarifies some things. And if you're not new and you're one of our followers, you guys already know, and thank you very much.
That honestly, man, that's why I like doing the podcast so much, because it's just a chill vibe. We don't get too technical into the weeds. I get nervous like whenever I do a breakdown video, and I don't do them often, but I feel like I'm obliged to do that technical breakdown and I struggle. I'm like, crap, I got to watch like five fights and really break it down. Mm-hmm. And that's when I start to lose the enjoyment. I just like to watch fun fights and talk about it with a friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And then honestly, recording the episodes is fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fun the way we do it. But yeah, I hope that clarifies some of the people. Mm-hmm. And let's get into it, dude. UFC.
Let's get into it. UFC 311 will be doing our predictions. If you haven't subscribed already, please do. Really appreciate all the support.
Almost hitting that 30K.
I reckon we'll probably hit it by the time this video goes live, if not soon after. So thank you so much for all of your support. And what an episode, bro, to return with. We've got UFC 311 in the main event, something that you and I have been looking forward to a lot. Islam Makhachev against Arman Tsarukyan for the lightweight title. Let's provide a little bit of a breakdown. Islam, 26 wins, one loss. That one loss seems like an age ago now. Like, we shouldn't even consider it at this stage. Mm. But he recently submitted Dustin Poirier with that Darce choke. He obviously defeated Alex Volkanovski twice, once with a KO, once with that very, very close decision win. He submitted Charles Oliveira to obtain the title. But then Arman Tsarukyan, he's had a bit of a streak as well. 22 wins, 3 losses. He did lose to Islam in his UFC debut on short notice, and we can talk about that a little bit. This is technically a 2. This is technically a rematch, but I think both fighters are very much at a different stage in their career. Recently, obviously, he beat Charles Oliveira, again in a very close decision, split decision, in fact. He KO'd Benil Dariush, Joaquin Silva, he fought as well. So, Rob, break it down for us. What do you think about Islam versus Arman?
Mate, I like the direction Islam's been heading in these last few years. I can't get over the fact the growth curve we've seen in him in the last 3-4 years. It's exponential. It is so good to see. His striking has gotten leagues better than when he entered the scene. And the way he's able to mix in his grappling, which is obviously the greatest threat, with his striking, which is significant now, it's just, it's beautiful to see. And, you know, we saw such a good showing of that in his last fight against Dustin. Mm-hmm. He was able, honestly, he was just beating Dustin up. He was beating him in the hands. He took, he made it a striking match with Dustin, who's like notorious for his heavy hands and striking.
One of the best in the game, yeah.
But then mixed in his shots and finished it with a dash choke in late rounds, meaning he didn't lose anything during the fight. Yeah. It's just, you know, and I understand how good Armin Sarukian was, mm-hmm. And but I just feel like if we look at Islam's last fight with Dustin, yeah, and we look at Armin's last fight with Charles, I just feel like there's a gap. I feel like there's a skill gap, you know, and everyone's saying like how well Armin went in his debut, last note, short notice, et cetera, et cetera. But you look at the names, you look at the level of fights, you look at the stage that Islam's fights were set on. I don't know. I just see Islam's in a really good place right now. I find it very hard to see him getting defeated.
Yeah, there's a few things to touch on. I do want to talk about Armin's previous fight with Charles. Man, he got caught two times and he was very, very close. I've said this in previous episodes that if it was Islam in that position, I would have found it very difficult for Armin to get out like he did against Charles because, you know, even Dustin talked about how, like Islam, he said, isn't necessarily stronger than Khabib, but it's his squeeze that he was really impressed by. So if Islam gets Armin in one of those positions, I know how much of a dog he is. I just really struggle to see him get out of that. However, to Armin's credit, have you seen the size of the fella recently, bro? He is huge and shredded at the same time. He's like training. I know that he talks about here and there that he's not fully invested in the fight game, but if you look at his training videos, you look at him now, he looks really, really impressive, and I think he's taking this seriously. So this is going to be completely different to the first time that they fought. I don't even think we can use that as a comparison. And even if we did, short notice, he was just signed to the UFC because no one wanted to fight Islam in Russia. And he actually gave it to Islam in the wrestling and the grappling game. So I'm leaning towards Islam as well, but I'm very torn still.
I can see that.
I do want to ask you this as well. So Islam, in a previous interview, he was like, if Khabib had let me strike with Dustin more, I would have knocked him out. But Khabib, because he's in his corner training him, wants him to continuously go for the takedown. However, against Armin, that's going to be a bit more difficult. Do you think he's going to try and change his game up and go more striking heavy against the likes of Armin?
I think we're going to see very much a similar Islam than we saw in his last fight. I definitely think his striking is, like I said, is significantly better than before.
Yeah.
But it's his threat level with the shots that create those opportunities. And I don't see him changing it. I think like Islam's very experienced. He's very good at his craft. He's very good at what he does. This isn't a wrestling match. It's an MMA match. There are so many other factors that go into grappling. And I don't know. Like I can see him just utilizing his striking and keeping it there. But I feel like he will shoot his shots when the opportunity arises.
Yeah. I believe as well, and please someone in the comments correct me, right now Islam is tied at four title fights. If he beat Armin, I think he tops the lightweight division and he will have the most on record. That's pretty significant, man. If he can get through him, it's going to be a very, very tough fight.
Yeah, very hard. Very hard. So I think it's one of his harder fights in the division as a whole right now.
You reckon right now, looking down the list, I mean, he already beat Charles Oliveira. Alex moved up, Volkanovski, but not technically in the division. You think this is his toughest fight to date?
I think, you know, styles make fights. Yeah. And I think that stylistically, this fight offers some obstacles and challenges that a lot of other matchups don't in the division right now. And honestly, if he gets through Armin, mm-hmm. where does he go from there? Like it is, he's, you know, that's almost an episode in itself.
So right? It's very funny you mentioned that. And I mentioned this on the community tab. I'm trying to secure an interview with Bilal Muhammad. And I was recently watching Islam's interview where he talked about how Bilal kind of ruined my plans, jokingly. Like, they're good friends and they train with each other, but kind of ruined my plans to move up in weight because we know he wants to do that and fight for the belt. But now that he has a training partner and a friend in the welterweight division, I think he's going to struggle to make that decision. And obviously, Bilal needs to fight Shavkat. Does he move up to fight Bilal? Is there a world where that happens? Same manager, friends, training partners, or does he just go to middleweight? Just jump the whole queue.
Oh, that's tricky because the it's a different game. Like the difference in divisions is huge. You see that a lot of the time when guys move up one division or down one division. Mm. Like it's significant to do it twice, like unless you're just a naturally huge guy that can make that change pretty easily, or you're like really killing yourself to get down to a weight, it's hard. But who knows? Let's see if he can get through Armin first.
So your official recommendation, your official prediction is Islam Makhachev to defend his title.
I would find it very remiss to bet against him. He's a favorite for a reason.
I agree as well, but it's going to be a phenomenal fight. Can't wait to see it. But also as well in the co-main, we have another great fight to watch. Marab Dvalishvili against Umar Nurmagomedov for the bantamweight title. Marab, 18 wins, 4 losses. Of course, he just beat Sean O'Malley to obtain the title. He also beat Henry Cejudo, Piotr Jan, Jose Aldo, all by decision. I want to touch on this fact. Marab is a decision fighter. He has 14 wins by decision, 3 knockouts and 1 submission. So he can knock people out. He has submitted one person in the past, but most of his fights are won by decision. Whereas Umar Nurmagomedov, he is undefeated, 18 wins, 0 losses. He had a phenomenal showing against Corey Sandhagen, defeated him with his hands, which was very impressive. But I believe that has been his only one ranked win. But it's because no one has wanted to fight the dude. He is such a boogeyman in that division. He doesn't just have the Nurmagomedov name. He actually is that bloody good. And he showed that against Corey Sandhagen. So this is a very phenomenal, intriguing matchup. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I guess, you know what? I've been thinking about it lately. And I've been saying that like Umar's my pick almost because he can wrestle. He can utilize that skill set to kind of negate Marab's strengths. But his striking is much higher.
Miles ahead. Opinion. Yeah.
You know, as well as physically, that he's got the attributes to enhance that even further. He's got longer arms. He's a taller guy. He can punch kick. He's got, you know, he's got the body structure to be able to capitalize on that strength very well. But I don't know. I think something is telling me in the last couple of days, I'm like, you know what? Everyone discounts Marab. Dude, a guy does what he does so well.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking maybe over 5 rounds, him just being relentless with that sort of mauling sort of work, he creeps out another decision win. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
And don't get me wrong, like Marab's been hurt. You've seen him get wobbled, you've seen him get rocked, but multiple he's always times. Still in it. He gets dropped, he just pushes into another takedown. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is. The last couple of days, I'm like, oh, you know what? Umar's good, so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, the smart pick, like if we look at it on paper, I think Umar's got all the things leading to be the favorite. But just a gut feeling. I don't know. I want to see Marab do his thing. I want to see him get in there with his awkward hands, close the gap, turn it into like a scramble for the entire round, slow Umar down, and then just continue that kind of pace, 5 rounds, and creep out decision win. That's what I want to see happen. Because Marab's not only is he a good wrestler, scrambler sort of character, he has a gas tank to be able to do that forever.
He does.
Which is kind of like one of his greatest attributes, I reckon.
I just don't know, man. I don't know if we know what Marab's game is. It is going to decision. It's fence wrestling. It's just being relentless, using his cardio and wearing people down. But you look at the people that he's done that against recently. Sean O'Malley. Yes, Henry Cejudo. Prolific wrestling background. But also he was coming back after a while. He was a little bit older. Then you have Piotr Jan and Jose Aldo. I just can't see how he's going to do that against Umar. I really can't. If he's relentless enough, he might be able to get 1 takedown or 2 takedowns or 3 takedowns. But then what is he going to do with that position before Umar is able to get out of it? Because
he does the same thing he always does, just kind of holds you there.
But can he do that against Umar? That's the question, because he's not going to damage him like significantly anyways with strikes. He's not really going to submit him because he hasn't really done that much in the past.
But he doesn't do any of that anyway.
But that's the thing. So all he can hope is that he can hold the position against someone like Umar. That's what I doubt.
Exactly.
That's what I doubt.
Hold a position and creep out that decision win.
Like, is that what you really want to see, Rob? Be honest with me.
Yeah, dude. that's Marab's strength. And I want him to play that way. I want to see it working on everyone. I want to see it. You know, like I said, paper, Umar just picks him apart for 5 rounds, can't get the takedown, stuffs a couple, and then starts piecing him up.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't want to see that, though. I want to see Marab just shooting relentlessly time and time again and just wearing Umar down. Umar's a taller guy. You know, maybe he's not used to getting taken down that much because of how good he is on the hands.
Yeah.
Because he also has that wrestling defense there. You know, maybe he starts to slow down a little bit because, like, physically they're different builds.
Mm.
5-round fight. You know, I'm trying to really stretch this, but I don't know. You know, like I said, Umar, he's going to be – he's probably the hardest matchup. In, like, a lot of this fight and the fight before we were speaking about with Islam, a lot of the same sort of storylines stylistically with this fight.
Yeah.
I think this fight is going to be super hard for Marab. But I don't know. Gut feeling, I'm like, I want to see Marab get it done. You know what I mean? He's such a happy chappy.
Well, I mean, look, right now he's not happy. There's a lot of personal beef between the two. I'm not going to lie. It'll make for a – this is why it's so intriguing. It'll make for an interesting story. But I got to say this, right? As a fight fan that likes to see knockouts, that likes to see submissions and exciting fights, I can understand why some people might not be so high on Marab. I mean, we saw that fight with Sean O'Malley. It wasn't a barn burner by any means. That's why I think Umar would be so good as champion, because he has that ability.
Can I ask, like, everyone likes watching slugfests.
Sure. Know,
everyone loves those fights.
Yeah.
Those striking clinics, those knockouts, right? But tell me there isn't something just as intriguing about a guy that is solely built on one aspect and does it to everyone. I don't know. You know what? It's kind of like if we were breaking this down game-wise, RPGs, this guy's a pure. He's put all his stats in one, all his stats in stamina, dude, and he just bangs it. Like, he just rocks it. And you want to see how far it goes.
Look, I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
For science.
It is intriguing, right? But it depends where the stats are being distributed. Look at someone like Alex Pereira, right? He has one game and does it really bloody well. You're never going to see Alex Pereira wrestle. You're never really going to see Alex Pereira grapple. He stands up and he trades and he kickboxes. That's his background. But it's exciting because he's knocking people out. You don't see that with Marab. You see long, drawn-out, 3-round, 5-round fights where he's fence wrestling and getting it done with his cardio.
Yeah,
that is not like a barn burner by any means. So it's like similar in that sense where they're each invested into one particular game. But they're not the most exciting fights if you really break it down. I still find it fascinating. I understand why others don't. But I would love to see Umar do a bit of a run. Even though I had my bit to say, don't get me wrong, on I still thought he should have got one or two more ranked fights. But it's also because no one wanted to fight him because he is good all around. So if I was to give a prediction, it would be Umar. It would definitely be Umar.
I'm going Marab.
All right. We're neck and neck on this.
Why not? Let's just see what happens.
Play devil's advocate. I love
Speaking.
It. So, like, the next fight, man. Oh, Jiří Procházka, Jamahal Hill. I'm actually very excited for this fight. Jiří Procházka, 30 wins, 5 losses. Obviously, he was just TKO'd by Alex Pereira. Recently, he TKO'd Alexander Rakic, but it was a very first hard opening round. He obviously lost to Pereira before that again. He submitted Glover Teixeira, KO Dominic Reyes. Then we have Jamahal Hill, 12 wins, 2 losses. This dude has not fought that much. He really hasn't. He was knocked out by Alex Pereira, UFC 300. We know the story there. He beat Glover Teixeira in a very tough fight to win the belt. He had to relinquish that, unfortunately, due to injury. TKO Thiago Santos, KO Johnny Walker, KO Jimmy Crute. Rob, very, very interesting. Probably going to be a very fun fight. What are your thoughts?
I love this fight because those two dudes are like crazy, bro.
They are.
Yuri's crazy, right?
He's nuts, and I love it.
John
I love
Paul
it.
Is still like just attacking people on Twitter.
What is he doing, bro?
I don't know, dude. He's got surely he's got a mate next to him that's like, hey, bro, you probably shouldn't post that one. But I don't know. Obviously, this one is so hard to put a pin in, right? Because Jamal hits so hard.
He does.
And that last showing with Alex Pereira, Alex Pereira is so good at what he does, but Jamal was coming back. He wasn't given the opportunity to showcase any of his strengths. Okay. Every fight before that he did. He was just knocking people out. Jiří is a guy that doesn't go away unless he's fighting Alex Pereira. Right? Because like even though he TKO'd Rakic, he was getting belted, dude. He was getting belted, but you know, before him getting TKO'd by Alex Pereira, it would have been a shoo-in easily for me, because Jiří is one of those guys that would, regardless of how he's doing in the fight, would come back and win somehow. You know, he's kind of always there. The threat level's always there. But since Alex kind of highlighted his Achilles heel, the fact that he does get hit so often and the fact that if you hit him hard enough, he will just go away. And with Jamal hitting as hard as he does, there is no doubt that Jamal Hill hits hard. You can see the way he's – not only the fact that he's got his TKO and his knockouts in his prior fights to Alex, but if you watch the fight and you see the way he knocks people out, some of those shots weren't even clean, and he's still stoning people. So, I don't know. I don't know what sort of Jamal Hill comes back after that Pereira loss, which was a very significant loss after coming back, you know, with his Achilles problem and then losing the way he did, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know what Jiří comes back with getting knocked out a second time by Alex Pereira. So he got knocked out by Alex. He had a war with Rakic, got the win, but, mate, he was getting belted, and then got knocked out by Alex again. You know, you know what I mean?
It honestly, flip of a coin stuff, because you and I have talked about this. Jiří Procházka, I love him to death. He's such a character. He needs to work on his defense. He needs to work on his head movement. His idea of head movement is moving into strikes and just like taking it and then he'll be back. Like he's like one of those anime characters that the more damage he takes, the better that he does. But there is a limit to be drawn there. We found that with Alex Pereira twice. I'm really worried that we're going to find that with Jamal Hill. Interesting as well, of course, it's going to be a 3-round fight. So there's going to be only so much damage that Procházka can take. And there's only so many opportunities where he can try and get the better of Jamal Hill. I just worry that he hasn't changed up his game enough. Now, we've seen him obviously do very well in the past by knocking people out. I'm not like the biggest fan of Jamal Hill and what he's been saying and doing recently, going up to Alex Pereira in the gym and giving him crap there. But I'm leaning towards Jamal Hill, man. I don't know, man. I love Jiří Procházka, but goddamn, he's got to change his game a little bit and become more defensively responsible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I also understand that is his game as well, though.
Like, yeah.
It's very hard to, because I've thought about this a lot with like fight styles. It's like, how do you, some fight styles have glaring weaknesses, but they're also its respective strengths, you know? And like, where do you draw the line? Like, where do you start changing things to the point where his weaknesses may have closed, but his strengths have also closed? It's
Surely after two knockouts, but it's Alex Pereira. Here's the thing. Those are his losses. And Alex Pereira has done that to so many other people. Could just be his Achilles heel, you know? Yep. And then he might come out, struggle again in the first round against Hill because he gets sniped and he gets outstruck or whatever. But then he comes out all guns blazing in the second round. We've seen them both just get knocked out, so they could easily each get knocked out again. This is flip of the coin stuff, man.
Tricky stuff.
What is your final prediction?
Oh, man.
Just call it. I'm saying Hill, like begrudgingly, because I want to see Jiří win, but I have to say Hill.
Oh, I don't know, dude. I don't know.
And I feel like you're leaning towards Jiří.
I like both these guys though, right?
Yeah.
I like a lot.
Are you sitting on the fence? Are you doing a typical Rob?
Yeah, no. you know what? I'm gonna say this. My prediction is a draw.
There we go. That is fence sitting of all fence sitting, Rob. God damn.
I explained my, like, the strengths of both guys.
I get it.
I don't know. If Yuri can outlast the damage Jamal can put out, then I can see. I don't know, dude. This is hard. Is this over three rounds as well?
I think so, yeah. I think it's
well, then
rounds.
Jamal Hill would have to be the favorite. Like, he would have to be the favorite, but...
Do you want me to pull up the odds? Like,
nah,
are you curious?
Leave it. I'm fence-sitting. I'm not picking one.
All right, fine. Last fight in the main event main card that we're going to be talking about. Benil Dariush against Renato Moicano.
Break it down. I'll be right back.
Where? Are you out of the bathroom? Is that what's happening?
I have to.
Go to the bathroom. I'll wait, and then I'll break it down. Go on, bro. This hasn't happened in a good... Like, I forgot that Rob used to have to go to the bathroom a lot, like usually after the first segment. Couldn't even wait 30 minutes. We're 27 minutes in. For those of you, by the way, that did see that community post, we had to reschedule with Bilal Muhammad. Happens all the time in the fight game, happens with Rob in the fight game. So I'm going to try and find an alternative time to have that interview with him. I've also got another interview lined up with someone else that I won't say his name, but very, very exciting to see. Don't want to give it away. I have another interview lined up once I get times, and I'll ask you for questions in the community section. I'm very much excited for that one. And I want to continue to try and do as many interviews as I can in between podcast episodes, especially if Rob ever does need to fight and go on fight camp like he usually does. So I'm trying really hard. The thing that makes it difficult is not necessarily the fact that it's a UFC fighter schedule. That's part of it. But it's time zones. Time zones are horrible. So like to do an interview with a UFC fighter, like in the US, for instance, in the afternoon, it has to be like early morning my time. So the interview with Bilal this morning, for instance, was going to be at 8 a.m. The schedule changed. But if I ever have to do it early morning US time, it's going to be even earlier for me. All right, Rob, let's do it. Benil Dariush, 22 wins, 6 losses. He was just KO'd by Armin, TKO'd by Charles, but before that, he beat Mateusz Gamrot, Tony Ferguson, Carlos Ferreira. And then we have Renato Moicano on a bit of a streak right now. 20 wins, 5 losses. He just destroyed Benoit Saint-Denis. It was a TKO doctor stoppage, but he smashed him in that opening round. TKO Jalen Turner, beat Drew Dober, submitted Brad Riddle. So Renato Moicano, easy money, man. Doing very well. Coming up against Dariush, who's had 2 losses, pretty significant losses. What are your thoughts, man?
Mate, I love Dariush.
I know you do. Yeah,
I love him a lot. Yeah. I think it's a super hard fight to come back.
Yeah.
To, like, Moicano's in, like,
he's a monster.
He's a stellar form right now, man. And his last fight highlighted that, really. Dariush has taken a year off, though.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's been able to just adjust some things, rest himself, because I feel like his back-to-back losses were pretty close together, considering the, you know, he got TKO'd.
Yep.
Yeah, but man, it is hard. It is a hard fight to come back from a year off with double losses prior.
Yeah.
Against Moicano, who is just destroying people right now.
I think the bit that you mentioned about time off is very significant, because after his loss, June 2023 against Charles, he then fights Armin December 2023. So barely a few months later, fighting against now someone who is the number one contender about to fight Islam Makhachev, right? So he's just fought 2 of the hardest fights, obviously behind Islam in the lightweight division. Like, you love him, but for a reason, like, we should give him his props. He was doing very, very well before that. People thought that he could have been that legitimate contender. And he's taken over a year off. So I think that does need to be considered. I don't want to discount Benil just because of how well Renato is doing. But Renato is doing really bloody well. He just pieced apart Benoit Saint-Denis. I don't know if you remember that fight, man. That first opening round was brutal. And I'm worried he might do something similar against Benil.
Yeah, we're going to find out. We're going to find out.
Do you have a prediction for this one?
No, I don't.
Don't fence it. I know you like it.
I just think it is a very hard fight to come back from. I think the time off was important. I think it was a good thing to do, but it's also it's a year away from competition.
True.
You know, it's and Moicano's running hot right now.
Yeah.
So it's a hard fight. The chips are stacked against him, I guess. You could see it that way.
Yeah.
But Dariush, you know, like prior to his losses, he was like in top form. That Gamrot fight, was top form Dariush. If we see that Dariush come into the fight, I think he's going to put Moicano to a really strong test there.
That's why I don't want to discount him because people seem to forget. I know there's a lot of recency bias in MMA. People forget, but he was on a tear prior. Like he was seen as a legitimate contender in a cutthroat division. Mm-hmm. So I am leaning towards Renato, but I think it's going to be a hard fight. I don't think we're going to see Benil get knocked out. So I'm going to say Renato, but I hope Benil has a good showing. Mm-hmm. Rob's going to sit on the fence. Can I ask you, you just made a really, like made me think of a really good question. When someone gets knocked out, and they're like, I need to take enough time off because you don't want to come back too soon after a vicious knockout. However, you also don't want to take too long out because it's being away from competition. How do you balance that? Is there a correct answer?
It's so tricky. And because it's just hard. It's very hard to answer that really because everybody's different. You see guys get knocked out and come straight back and win sometimes. And sometimes they get knocked out again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hard. And you know what the hardest part, I reckon, is? It mentally. Mm. Like when you get knocked out, like, man, it's hard to come back because the whole time in your head you're thinking, like, what if it happens again?
Yeah.
You know, like, what if it happens again? It's not like you saw the shot coming. You know, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do, a hard thing to come back from.
Yeah.
The balancing act is hard, but I think you do need to take time off. But you can't take too much time off either. It's
No, that's fair. Well, as I said, I'm heading towards Renato Moicano. There's some other great fights at UFC 311, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode. So let's move on to the next UFC segment. We've got some fight announcements to very quickly go over, Rob, and also some rumors as well. UFC Seattle was announced earlier this week, and we have as the two top fights Henry Cejudo against Song Yadong and Rob Font against Dominic Cruz. Now, you and I were chatting a little bit before we started, especially about the Rob Font and Dominic Cruz one. This is a very interesting fight to put together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cruz, man, like, I don't know if he should be fighting anymore. But then again, in saying that, we looked at his stats, and prior to his last loss, he had two wins.
He did.
And then he lost once or twice, and then he had a win. You know, he's competitive, but I feel like he's invested so much into his commentary and to all the work that he's doing there, which he is stellar at.
He's killing.
Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But you see a lot of guys that start doing those desks, start working behind the desk. They start working those commentating and analysis breakdowns and everything. I feel like it takes so much out of their focus. It takes so much out of their fight game because fighting is a selfish sport. It has to be because of that because your opponent generally is as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And then, like we said, we looked at his age as well. He's now turning 40 this year. 40, okay?
Yeah.
And he hasn't fought since 2023. Or is it? No, 2022.
2022.
So he took some time off after his last loss, which is good. But again, like I said, he's turning 40 this year. And he's coming back to Rob Font.
Rob Font, like he had a win recently, but he was on a bit of a losing streak here and there. Like he lost against Figgy, he lost against Corey. He did beat Yanez, TKO, but then lost to Cheeto, who also Cruz lost to in his recent fight, and then lost to Jose Aldo. But Jose Aldo, no shame on that. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if, you know, Font is on the same tier like he was in previous parts of his career. So in that sense, it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like career-wise, they're kind of in a similar spot, but it's the age differential and how long Cruz has been out of the game and focusing on other stuff. That's why I'm like, I don't know if this was the right fight to make.
Well, I feel like if you're going to – I'm gonna say that Cruz is coming back for one last dig and he's probably going to leave, okay?
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah.
But
Font, could have been an easier fight.
Yeah, Rob Font's got like font power, right? Yeah. Like, I would have picked someone that like doesn't hit very hard. It's kind of stationary. Someone I can just dance around the entire fight and pick apart.
Yeah.
But not someone who's just going to load up on that backhand and just try to knock your block off whenever he gets a chance.
Yeah.
Tough fight. I like Cruz a lot. Mm-hmm. He's a legend of the game, right? But man, tough spot, tough fight to come back from.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts, by the way, on Henry Cejudo versus Song Yadong? I mean, Henry's had two losses now against Aljo, against Marab. Song Yadong also had a loss against Piotr Jan, but he's younger, clearly, and he's still a very, very tough fighter. I struggle to see Henry Cejudo winning this one, in my
opinion. The Cejudo that came back to the game isn't the same that left.
No.
Like, yeah, I don't know what happened. Something happened.
I mean, he was out of the game for a few years.
Something happened, but he's not the same, okay? Like, not even close. So I don't know what version of Cejudo comes and fights Yadong. Honestly, Yadong, if we see the Cejudo that fought Aljo and Marab, Yadong has a good chance, like a really good chance of, like, you know, beating a legend of the game.
Yeah. I mean, if we look at Yadong's two most recent losses, you've got Piotr Jan and Corey Sandhagen. I mean, two incredibly tough fights, but he's beaten Chris Gutierrez, Ricky Simon, Marlon Moraes. Like, Song Yadong has been doing pretty decently as of late. I struggle to see what Henry Cejudo is going to be able to do to him. And I'll say this, if Henry loses, should probably hang up the gloves. I think that's about it. But also as well, bro, UFC Fight Night, 1st of March, we've seen a couple of fights be announced. Brandon Royval against Manel Capp. Surely that's a number one contenders fight. I think that's going to be a banger. We have Steve Astroboy Ursig returning. I'm very happy about this. It's not an easy fight. Asu Amabayev. We also have Hak Parasad against Esteban Ribovic and also Charles Johnson against Ramazan Temirov. But Steve Ursig, bro, I just want to say I'm very happy he's back.
So am I. I think it's a hard fight.
It's a very like, hard fight.
That's the problem. Once you reach that upper echelon, there are no easy fights. You lose to a good guy, your next fight is with another good guy. That's just the nature of the beast, you know. But that's why you're up there, because you can do it. Because you can do it.
Dude, that flyweight division, can you look at the top rankings? Brandon Royval, Moreno, Amir Albazi, Kai Kara France, Tatsuro Taira, Menol Cap, Alex Perez, Asu, Steve Ursig is there. It's a killer division, man. And it just goes to show how dominant Pantoja has been, how good he really is, for God's sake. He seems to have beaten everyone. I will say, though, the Steve Ursig fight was very close. In an alternate universe, Steve Ursig doesn't shoot for a takedown and he's your champion.
Maybe.
Yeah. Lastly, though, there are a couple of rumors that I wanted to bring to your attention, because we've got another Aussie at play here. Potentially, Jack Della Maddalena against Leon Edwards in UFC London. I believe it's taking place in March or so. It's rumored. It's not official. But what do you reckon about that one, man? JDM finally back at it.
I'm interested in that. Because obviously, two really good strikers.
Yeah.
Maddalena's really good at getting in, closing that gap, and utilizing his tight-knit boxing.
Yeah,
but Leon is good at controlling that space and utilizing his kickboxing. Very interesting, you know.
Well, like he was, and then we saw what Bilal did to him. Now, obviously, Bilal was fighting a very different game to what JDM will. Again, he goes up against the cage, fights in the pocket, does really well there. I will say this, and we're not going to give official predictions now, but Leon needs to be more active. He needs to be way more active. I know he likes to stand back, and we've talked about him being a sniper, but if he tries to sit back against JDM, JDM will pick him apart. 100%. And then the final fight rumor, again, not confirmed, but apparently Diego Lopez is being lined up to fight Yair Rodriguez. This one I don't understand. I don't know why Diego isn't just being put up against Movsar Evoev. They're the two clear contenders, but now he might be fighting Yair, who also lost to Brian Ortega, who Diego Lopez beat, and he's fifth in the division. It doesn't really make much sense. Could be a fun fight, but I don't know.
Fun fight for who? Lopez.
True. I think that Lopez walks through him. I agree.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, eh? I find he's either untouchable, looks like the best you've ever seen him, absolute killer walking around, or you see one that's kind of just a bit floaty, doesn't have too much output, kind of gets backed up and bullied a little bit. So we know what Lopez we're going to see. Like, dude's been consistent as hell lately.
Hell and yeah.
I don't know if Yair handles that well, but
it's just a rumor anyway. It's a strange one for me. I can see if Diego Lopez wins, they're going to give him the title opportunity for sure. The Movsar's probably next. Maybe he needs another win. I just thought it was an easier one to put Diego against Movsar. Maybe they were worried, though, that Diego would lose against him again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But those are all the UFC fight announcements and rumors in recent weeks. Let's get on to the video game news. Rob, we had CES in the past week. One of the biggest pieces of news was the brand new NVIDIA RTX 50 cards being announced. These things are insane, man. We're talking potentially like up to 2x relative performance versus the previous generation. So a lot of increased frames. We have better latency thanks to NVIDIA Reflex 2, better graphical fidelity thanks to new NVIDIA RTX Neural Shaders. So we're talking potentially up to 2x performance, 5090 and 5080 are coming out later this month, but they're very expensive. We're talking $2,000 for the 5090, 4,000 AUD for the 5090, 1,000 USD for the 5080 or 2,000 AUD. Rob, would you buy these and chuck them into your build? I know you have a pretty beefy build at the moment, but does this interest you?
I do. I'd like one, but
if you were given one,
I just don't need it right now. I don't know if you've noticed, but all the games I recommend or what I'm playing in that section, they're 2D, dude.
All like, your games are freaking roguelike indie games that are top down 2D. Yeah,
they're all limited pixel graphics. Games. Like I don't need the graphics card that I have.
You are literally that meme that you'll get this incredible PC and like play Minecraft or Sims. Like you are that, dude. But in the indie world.
Yeah, man. Like I just enjoy them. But don't get me wrong. Like I do like Cyberpunk, you know, and Cyberpunk looks cinematic right now for me. So
it will look even better. And
Dragon's
with this
Dogma is beautiful as well. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think the games. I don't think you'll get much more out of the games.
It's unless you want it's future-proofing, but also as well, if you really want to utilize the new DLSS 4, if you want to have ultra with ray tracing everything and get as high frame rate as possible, like that's why you're doing it. Right now, I think I'm happy to stick with my 4090 because I can still use DLSS. I can still do 4K 60. If you want to hit 120 frames or 180 frames or God forbid even higher than that, that would be the reason to buy these cards. Mm. But they're expensive, man. And I've had a bit of a shift recently where I'm just as happy, bro, to sit on my couch and play my PlayStation. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter to me as much anymore. I don't necessarily care about that. And I'm sure you're the same too.
I'm a PC guy. I don't really play consoles.
But like, obviously you would prefer the higher graphic fidelity, right? But are you going to spend $2,000 on it or $4,000 on it?
There's no way I'll spend $4,000 on a graphics card for my 2D games. Like, I'll wait till it drops a little bit first until there's a sale.
You have a 4090, right? That's your
maybe
build.
I'll get on my knees and just beg and grovel for one. I don't know what I have, to be honest.
What do you mean you don't know what you have?
I always forget.
I'm pretty sure your Zen build, it's either a 4080 or a 4090. Go to bottom right-hand corner, right-click on the NVIDIA app. And in settings, it'll tell you. I'm going to guess 4090. I reckon they would have given you a 4090. Because you did that sponsored build, right, with Aftershock?
Correct. And they were such a treat to work with.
Yeah. Your build is cool, man.
It's a 4090.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, can I think I've asked you this before. So you did this Zen build. Was that your idea or was that something they brought to the table?
Yeah. No, it was my idea because I wanted something just tranquil to look at. You know, so I like the light blue colors. I like the little pond and lake and rocks in there. It's just cool. You never see it like that. You know what I mean?
So when you're sweating over your freaking roguelike games, you can glance over your PC and calm down a little bit.
That's it. Just chill out. You know, take some deep breaths and just return to it.
Well, look, if a computer company wanted to sponsor you and send you a 5090. You wouldn't say no. Ooh,
what am I? I am only human.
But let's move on to what we're watching, playing, and reading. Rob, what have you been getting up to in the past week or so?
It's been tricky. You know what? I haven't been playing much because...
At all?
Nah, since Christmas. I got so burnt out at Christmas, like with everything that was going on. It's like the different birthdays and the Christmas itself and all the family stuff that I started reading and I didn't stop. And like I've been looking today to for a new game to get into. And I think I'm going to get into maybe like, I don't know, I'm torn between maybe finally getting into Cyberpunk.
Okay.
And going through the, what's that, the Night City.
Yeah, Night City. Latest DLC.
Thinking about that. But I'm also kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can be bothered either.
Why do you say that? Because it is really good. You've started Night City.
Like, because I'd have to start again. I can never pick up games because I forget everything. Yeah. And I just don't know if I can get invested that much into it all.
Then Why don't you just respec?
No, because I don't want to. because it doesn't feel good jumping into a playthrough like that. You know, I need to. Everything else needs to happen first so that Night City is impactful.
Okay. You know, I get that.
Otherwise, I don't feel anything, and I just feel like, you know, it's weird for me.
Yeah, anyway. But also you've said that. What was the other game? Dragon's? No, it was Baldur's Gate, right? A story aside, whenever you wanted to start again, you're like, oh, I don't want to respec. I just want to re-roll. But then that gets you through the whole intro segment of a game, which typically is not the most fun and exciting, which just increases the likelihood that you don't finish it.
Yeah, I'll never finish Baldur's Gate. I already know this. Mm. It's got too much story. Just too much.
Fair.
Like,
but what about Dragon's Dogma 2?
That doesn't really, like, you don't have to do the story.
But you never finished it is the point that I'm making.
I just ran around. But I'm very happy with the way that I played it.
Okay.
Like, I just, by the time I go back to the storyline, dude, I'm a god.
Fair.
I like playing like that. I don't like Baldur's Gate's like not, it's very linear, you know what I mean? It's not very, like, it's open to a degree, but it's broken down into acts. I like being able to just, there is a story, but I'll go do whatever I want, much like Cyberpunk.
So have you decided? Well, it was Cyberpunk, and then what was the other game?
I might even play a farming game with my son, Dinkum. It's like that Australian-based one.
Dinkum.
It looks kind of funny, but
I don't know. I mean, that's cute to play with your son.
To play with him.
I don't know. Is that on your PC? Yeah, it's a Steam game.
Yeah, it's a PC game, so maybe I'll do that. I don't know.
Did you finally bloody watch Shangri-La Frontier, by the way?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
I just can't be bothered.
What's up, man? You gotta watch some anime.
Nah, because I got into a huge reading mood, right? Fair. And then going to anime after reading heaps is just, I just found this, I couldn't watch average anime because it was just, there was no character development. There's nothing there. You know what I mean? Good anime is good anime, but because I did go through a week where I was just watching episodes of this episode, this series and that series, and I was just mix and matching, and they were just, nothing was scratching that itch.
Fair.
You know? I've just been reading a lot, but I'm actually between books right now and I'm struggling to find a new one. So
are you like thinking about two different ones to read, or you just have no idea?
No, I'm thinking about like not trying too hard to find one, maybe jumping into a game.
Fair.
Because if I get hooked onto a book, that's all I do is just end up reading.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. What about yourself?
I am trying to get back into Assassin's Creed because AC Shadows is, in fact, it was meant to be released next month, but they've delayed it again to March to work on the game a little bit more. So the one that I decided to play, because I somehow never played it, was Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Mm. And a lot of people tout this as like one of the best Assassin's Creed games. And then there was a bit of a spell with Rogue and Syndicate where some people weren't the biggest fans. I didn't play those either, mind you. Mm. But Black Flag has long been on my list as that Assassin's Creed game that I really wanted to get back into. And honestly, man, I'm so glad I did. I'm very surprised that I didn't before, because the setting of being able to play as a pirate and then you're in like Havana, you know, with all the Spanish-speaking guards and characters, like, this is my jam. It's my vibe. And it's like making me think of those nostalgic memories that I used to have playing Assassin's Creed 2, yeah. just with the sounds and doing the parkour and moving around and the story with the Templars. I'm actually and really liking it, bro.
You know I don't like Assassin's Creed.
I do.
I liked that one.
Really?
That. Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. But I dropped it once I realized there was no reason for me to go around pirating people. Like, there was no real, you don't really get anything out of it.
Well, but that's the thing. I think I remember this being a discussion. If they had made that, like, you had to do it as part of the story, yeah. it probably would have pissed people off. Think about this, man. At the point in time, Assassin's Creed, it was after AC3, then you had Black Flag. So this was the first time where they were like, all right, ship combat, pirate combat, let's go forward. If they integrate that into the game and make it a fundamental that you need to do this at all times, then people are like, well, this isn't really Assassin's Creed game. You can never win.
But they could have even given an incentive to do it.
Well, there were those missions initially where it's like you have to do it to upgrade your ship.
Yeah, but
I haven't got that far, mind you, so yeah. I don't know what the end game does to the ship combat.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I thought that was cool. Really, really cool.
Hell yeah. So that's what I'm playing right now, and I'm like, I want to get this done before Shadows because even though it's been delayed a couple of times, I still have a lot of hope for Shadows. We've been asking for a Assassin's Creed game in Feudal Japan for a very long time, and I hope that they do it justice. I think that they will, and they're taking the time to work on it. So touch wood, man. I hope that it's good. But finally, as always, to end the podcast, we have viewer questions. If you have any questions for this segment, let us know in the comments below and we'll bring them up in future episodes. But first up, we have @rawdog95. Hey guys, big fan, love the podcast. Was wondering, Rob, what are your most successful submissions or favorite to do when rolling?
Head numb. That's my choke. I like it. That's my favorite.
Is there a reason or it just feels good? Like,
I like being on top. I find that the positions to try and get into that head and arm are kind of safe and simple.
Yeah.
You know, like even if something happens, you usually end up on top or you end up in a disengage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just like that choke. It's just, I just like it. Everyone's got a favorite.
Next question from I'm Akimi 2. Now, this was in relation to our discussion about Fighter of the Year in the last episode. They ask, how can Pereira not be Fighter of the Year? I thought we were pretty like clear on that. Like we were going for
dude, we broke it down.
I know. We said it was a quality versus quantity thing.
I'm Akimi. Go watch the episode, bro. Yeah, man, like we were pretty extensive on like why. And we even said like Pereira is a like very close contender. I just feel like, we mentioned it. I'm not going into it again.
You know, that's why I wanted to bring it up. Like, again, we were like the quality of the wins that what's his name had, that Ilya had, were just better than Pereira's. Yes, Pereira had one more win. And the circumstances for which they happen on the short notice is significant. To beat Alex Volkanovski, not just to beat, to knock out Alex Volkanovski and Max Holloway in the same bloody year, how can you not nominate that dude as Fighter of the Year, right? That was just our opinion. Remember, we're just shooting the shit. Next question is from @Matthew Novo Hatney 9040. Some of these usernames, bro, I think they do it to trip me up intentionally. Do you lads have the same bloody toy in the background?
We got several of the same toys.
Several, but we definitely have Melania. The reason why I brought this up, did you get it fixed?
Well, you'll notice if you look real close, my Melania doesn't have a sword.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
My kids go and play with them all the time.
Do you still have like the broken sword? Or is it just gone?
I don't know.
Oh. But we do, because we're Elden Ring fans. What other statues do we share? I think that's it.
I don't know. That's kind of it. I've got heaps in boxes, but...
You've got a Mortal Kombat one in a box, and I want you to send it to me, because if you're not going to use it, I will.
I've got the Mortal Kombat one there.
Where?
Where is it?
Oh, you do, the Scorpion one. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
That one's freaking cool, man.
Yeah.
Next question, and the last question is from @SlothFullSelene. Bloody hell. Question for both. Johnny, did you ever get around to playing Dragon Age Origins? If you get past the age of it, I think you'd like it better than Inquisition. And for Rob, was your preferred origin story? What was your preferred origin story when you would play?
Oh. Well, Johnny, did you?
I never did. And then I played a little bit of Inquisition. even Inquisition is a bit dated, man. I find it really hard, unless I've played a game in the past and that nostalgia is there, it's going to be tough for someone new to go back and play it. You really have to push through that barrier of that game being a little bit dated, the mechanics being a little bit old. Like, I recently tried to play, what's the one that's coming out next month? It's a big game that's coming out, but the mechanics are pretty old and I struggled with it. I just struggled with it even with Inquisition. So Origins, I think, would be even worse.
Yeah, but Origins is easily the best Dragon Age. Easily.
Fair.
It's everything about it was better than the DLC was kind of how you're going. Okay.
Okay.
But
I mean, that's fine. You know, you don't always have to play DLC.
There was so much replayability in Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah.
And honestly, the fact that they did that whole thing where what you did in Origins affected 2 and what you did in 2 affected 3, that carried it for 2 and 3, in my opinion.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
I heard that in Veilguard, they do have that mechanic where the stuff that you did in the past transfers over, but it's actually not that impactful. It's like here and there.
They were kind of leading towards that in Inquisition as well, because they didn't want to cut you out of different things. Yeah. That's what made it fun, and that's what made replayability so much fun.
Fair.
Was the fact that you couldn't get access to different things if you didn't do things a certain way.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but that mechanic kind of carried it through 2 and 3, in my opinion.
Okay.
Origins, my favorite world story would have been, like, I always started as a noble, and then I'm pretty sure, like, I'd get the Templars.
Okay.
And then I'd get the werewolves. I think that's what he means.
Yeah. You're never going to play Veilguard, are you? You're pretty much done with Dragon Age.
I think that ship has sailed. I'm done with Dragon Age. Like,
that's fair.
I didn't even finish Inquisition. Like, I was kind of burnt out.
Yeah.
The Inquisition did me dirty, and I don't think, like I said, that mechanic where the progressing stuff kind of carried the whole game.
Mm.
So, yeah, Inquisition, they had too many MMO type quests, and it's just crap, dude. Just crap.
The game that I was thinking of, by the way, that's coming out next month is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. So I tried to play the first one, and again, like, it's a bit of an older game.
Yes, like one of my favorite games of all time.
So are you playing 2 then? Are you ready for it?
Oh, I'll definitely play it. But I didn't finish 1. I didn't finish 1.
So, like, that's the thing, man. Like, if I don't finish the first game, I really struggle to do the sequel.
Yeah, same. Like, I probably should. But then, like, I got up to the DLC where you get to run your own, like, Hamlet. And there's just so much grind involved in that I just never got back to it. As well as I play hardcore. And it just
Of course you do. Yeah.
Dude, it just makes everything, because there's no fast travel. So you got to, like, horse ride everywhere. You can't get much money and everything like that. But it just takes so long to get everywhere. And it just,
I don't want to miss it. I understand things. With you, bro. You have limited time to play games and you pick the most arduous way to play them. Fallout 4, you played hardcore where you can't frost travel.
It's not about quantity, it's about quality, my friend.
Here we go.
You'll understand that as you age.
Don't start. And that was episode 56 of the MM Arcade Podcast. If you are listening or watching at this stage, we really appreciate it. Rob, as always, do you have any final thoughts for the episode?
No, thank you very much. Good episode. Thanks to all our listeners and subscribers. We're hitting that 30K. Cannot wait.
Hell yeah.
Gonna retire on YouTube. That's the plan.